Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Produce Buzzers Podcast. We are so happy you have joined us today, and I think you will be too after the show is over, because you will learn a lot about fresh fruits and vegetables, how to select and store them, how to prepare and cook them, and surprising facts about their history and origin. We hope it inspires you to eat more fresh fruits and vegetables, not only for your health, but also for your delight and pleasure as you explore their amazing world of taste and delicious flavors. Eating more of them will transform your life in so many positive ways. So settle back, relax, and get ready for another delicious adventure with the Produce Buzzers. Greetings, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, and thanks for joining us once again. We have some very exciting episodes coming up for you in the next few weeks. In March, the Produce Buzzers attended the annual Southern Exposure Convention hosted by the Southeastern Produce Council. The event welcomes hundreds of fresh produce companies who supply your fruits and veggies to your local markets. They are growers, packers, distributors of the world's best produce, and it is always a delightful time for us to get to know these heroes of the food supply chain. This year's event was held in beautiful Tampa, Florida, at the convention center right on the water, and the theme was Unseen Heroes, honoring these people who work so hard to bring food to the nation's tables. The Southeast Produce Council is an important and vital organization that supports these farmers and purveyors in their effort to feed the world. While it has a focus on the southeastern United States, members come from all over the U.S. and abroad to interact with the local suppliers and markets who serve the southern United States. It's a great time for us to catch up with a broad range of people who are not only lovers of fresh fruits and veggies like all you Produce Buzzers podcast fans, but who have, in fact, dedicated their lives to making sure you have an abundant supply of those fruits and veggies. We interviewed several representatives of the leading fresh produce companies at the conference, and we will be featuring them over the next few weeks on the podcast. Unfortunately, we were out on the convention floor, and there was a lot of background noise we had to compete with. So we apologize for that in advance, but the interviews are still audible, so we hope it will not be too much of a distraction for you. The interviews are interesting and inspiring, so tune in and learn more about the wonderful world of fresh fruits and veggies.
Greetings, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, and welcome to another delicious episode of the Produce Buzzers podcast. I'm Edwin Stepp, your host and executive editor of ProduceBuzz.com. I'm joined once again by Teresa Nolan, the founder and president of Produce Buzz, along with Rick Stepp, a contributing editor to Produce Buzz. Now, Produce Buzzers podcast fans, we have a very special guest with us today. We've known him for quite a few years in the produce business as we worked in it. He's doing some great work with almost every kind of fruit and vegetable you can imagine. Today we have Gary Caloroso from Jamara Inc., a big produce company that sells almost everything. But I love their trademark tagline, feeding the world in a healthy way. And that's what Produce Buzz is about and Jamara is about, along with their brand, which you would see more than Jamara perhaps, I don't know. Nature's partner, isn't that a great too? Gary, thank you so much for joining us today. We're so glad to have you, and our listeners are excited to learn about what you do.
So thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure and an honor to be with you all, and definitely support what you guys are doing. And Teresa, what you've been doing, Foundation's amazing. I mean, it's just incredible work. Teresa's been such a mentor to the whole industry, and really, really been a leader in giving back so much.
Yeah.
You mentioned, the Jamara company's been around. It's family owned, over 100 years old.
Oh, wow.
Nature's Partner was a brand that, you know, the Hillary Brick created years, okay, you know, with Don Corsaro and John Corsaro and the whole team there at Jamara, which is a great name. And because it really is, you know, we view this is very important, feeding the world in a healthy way. It's very, very important to us. And our brand, Nature's Partner, it's very important to get that out there. And that's so when they see Nature's Partner, it's the Jamara companies.
Yeah, got it. Yes, and Teresa worked very closely with Hillary, doing some helping you with some
Jamara, yes.
Yeah, right. So, yeah, thanks, man. Thank you for this compliment. Teresa has been a mentor to me for sure, and I know she's been very influential throughout the produce industry. So that's really heartening to hear. Okay, but let's we're going to get into Major Partner and Jamara and what you sell. But I want to hear just a little bit about Gary and your background. You were telling us before we started recording a bit.
My father was born in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. His parents.
Was blood or after the blood?
One of them happened, I think, after. He, his parents came from Sicily, so my grandparents went through Ellis Island, and from Sicily, and then he was born. He was my grandfather was a steel worker in the Bethlehem Steel Company for 39 years. Then the entire family started to go west. My mom was born in Colombia, in South America. So Colombian and Sicilian.
Wow. There's no passion in that family, is there? How did you get into the produce business?
Yeah, I started in 1995 working at the L.A. Produce Terminal Market.
15 years old?
Yeah.
10 years old? You're not old.
Lemons, limes, and oranges.
Was that and the L.A. wholesale?
The L.A. wholesale market right for a broker down in downtown L.A., waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning and going out there early. And
which company?
And this, the Fresh Fruit Exchange is what it was called. And the big deal that we had were limes, Persian limes from Mexico, selling them to Vaughn. So that was like the big item for us as a broker. And so that was, and that's how I first started. 1996, I joined the Dolphin Group, a public affairs, public relations firm. I have a political science major at UCLA.
Okay.
And they liked my public affairs background. And they did a lot of crisis for agriculture and other stuff. And so I got, you know, so I dug deeply in sort of the more of the marketing side and communications and PR crisis part.
Yeah.
In 2000, I got recruited to be an account supervisor on the McDonald's Operators Association of Southern California, Porter and Valley, a big global PR firm. And I was hired as an account supervisor in 2000, where I was there for 6 years. It was great. I worked on McDonald's. I worked on CPG, you know, Procter & Gamble, the Muppets, Cirque du Soleil, all these, all in Board of California.
And those weren't so much crisis problems.
No, it was now fun stuff too.
Yeah. Right.
It was fun stuff and promotional things. But I really, after all the brands and tech and entertainment and healthcare, CPG, I love produce the best.
Oh,
so to me,
great.
I was always happier representing produce and doing that. So then in 2006, actually a Tampa-based PR firm, Solomon Williams, was looking for someone to be one of their leaders of the PR firm. And all they did was food PR, you know, and really a lot in the Southeast.
Okay.
And so I joined them in 2006, moved my family to Tampa. And then we eventually opened an office in California. But that was great. And so Solomon Williams is wonderful. And yeah, Georgia pecans, Georgia blueberries, Vidalia Onion Committee, the Georgia Fruit and Vegetable Growers.
So you were representing all of those.
Yeah, we did a lot of stuff. Imported tomatoes and a lot of Southeastern. Chipotle was a client. A lot of restaurant chains like Ocean Prime. And anyway, it was great.
Yeah.
Then eventually I ended up at Golan Harris, a global PR agency, and where I was doing more avocado, and all the way through avocados, by the way, representing avocados, whether it's
consistent
California or Chile or the House Avocado Board, like all these things.
Right.
And then Jamara was a client a couple of times.
Okay.
I mean, over the years, since 96, like various times Jamara was a client. And in 2012, I get a phone call from Chris Henry, who was at Jamara. He said, "Hey, man, I'm leaving. I'm going to Del Monte. Call Bruce Dowen right away." So, okay. And so I call Bruce, and Bruce, you know, runs the biggest division of the Jamara company, is the Escondido division. Say, "Hey, Gary, come on in. I want to talk to you about something." And so I drove in, I saw Bruce, and he hired me, and that was 12 years ago.
Okay.
And to be in charge of the marketing and business development for the Escondido division.
Right.
With avocados and asparagus. So then since then, they've added to my responsibilities. I represent everybody, business development, corporate marketing for the Jamara companies. And so, but I still have the special responsibilities for avocados.
Right.
And so that's kind of what's happened. I represent us to the avocado boards. And currently I'm on the board of Avocados in Mexico and Mejia, which is the over here.
Okay. Well, yeah. So you probably know a little bit about avocados.
Do you have a killer guacamole recipe?
I do. What's amazing about the avocado industry is, now I learned this at Porto Novelli as a young buck. You know, we represented almonds. Almonds is a good fat. And my colleagues there that I worked on the account, and they said, no, we want, Gary, we want, when you go to the checkout stand, we want the consumer to say, you know what, almonds are good for you. I don't know where I heard it, but they're good for you. We want avocados to be there.
Right.
And so the same nutritional research institutions that was used for that almond, my colleagues at Porto Novelli, they started Food Minds, hired by the Hass Avocado Board, and they did that. They went to the same research institutions. The avocados are good fat, but obviously a lot of use,
yeah.
A lot more uses with avocados, right. And almonds.
Delicious.
And they went to the same places, and over time, it worked.
Right.
And then, so the nutritional message, which was in the top 10 of an importance for the consumer for avocados, now it's not.
Right. I remember when I was working, I worked with Jury Center Marketing and Merchandising Business, starting in the 90s, and I had the East Coast or the Northeast to go and merchandise avocados. And I go, and they were taking like a pallet of avocados for a whole chain in those days. You know, now they're taking truckloads and truckloads. So you had a lot to do with that kind of explosion on the Colorado.
That's what the Hass Avocado Board did with the nutritional studies and the data.
Right.
And then what happened, it was a big moment. California wasn't happy about the imports coming in.
Right.
There was a deal made, an act passed in Congress, the Hass Avocado Act,
yeah.
Which then said everyone's assessed 2.5 cents per box. So then what happened? You had all this money to promote to the consumer. What's great is the industry felt like, you know what? We're going to just increase demand, increase consumption, spend a lot. We're not going to worry about our own brands as much.
Right.
Now,
get the consumption up everywhere. And that helps everybody.
And Mejia was created over 20 years ago through this Hass Avocado Board. And then what happened, there was a Mexican group, APM, based in Michoacan, promoting, Mejia promoting. And then there was a decision made, we need to combine that and create avocados from Mexico as a brand.
Yeah.
That's been around now 11 years. And my God, look at it. I mean, it's amazing. Marketing works.
Yeah.
Marketing helps. And it's a spectacular product.
I think it's the only produce item that has Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, maybe pistachios.
Exactly.
But
California Avocado Commission, they laid the groundwork, the important work.
Yeah.
And then Mexico, with all their resources, have really done a solid for the entire industry. And as a company, there's more companies, one of the largest suppliers of avocados.
Yeah.
And when we represented the California Avocado Board, we did the first technical training for retailers to show them how to ripen the product, which is a huge,
it was a huge obstacle to overcome.
To overcome because, you know, the fruit doesn't ripen well if it's not treated properly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Teresa had a lot to do with that.
Exactly, Teresa. I mean, that work is so important, that educational piece.
Yeah.
When you have a newer item and people don't know what to do.
Right.
How much has that changed since Teresa was working on that technical issues comparison now? And the retailers still have to precondition their own avocado.
Some are trying to do that. We do it as a company. We're preconditioning. We're working out. We're agreeing on a spec that they're looking for, what level of ripeness, and then we meet that spec and then send that to what they want. We've learned over the years that you want to offer the consumer a choice. You want them to have preconditioned fruit that they want to eat. They can eat right away.
Right.
Or, and then maybe they want to wait 2, 3, 4 days.
Right.
So they want something that's not as ripe as well. So you want to give consumers that choice. Some consumers want to plan for a party. You know, it's funny. It's avocado is a big party food. It's that celebratory and events. You know, it's really a happy food.
It is. I know I'm happy.
It's really great. And then Megan Gorgoschelli, who works, had been there at Jamara forever. She worked under Hillary, and she's been great, the brand marketing part. She, you know, we've come up with these new designs for these new bags, which has been great. And Megan has been a very good protector and builder and protector of the Nature's Partner brand. And so you'll see those for our California avocados, our berries, in segueing to berries, you know, this is the time of year for local berries. You know, we can bring in, well, we have berries year round, blueberries and
blackberries. They're black coming berries. As the seasons progress up north. Yeah, so they'll
start
north.
Georgia and Florida, start moving up the coast through the summer. And typically, we're always very excited about the local deal. We have berries year round, right. Which is great.
Yeah, and they're getting so much better. Varieties are better in the growing practices.
Oh, yeah.
They're churning out berries with unbelievable flavor.
The berries have exploded in terms of popularity as well.
Right.
They've been great.
Yeah,
they've been terrific. And we're also particularly excited about the lemonade apple.
Yes. I wanted to ask you about that. I've seen it. I have not. I'm ashamed to say I have not had a chance to try it. But what a great day. You just want to eat an apple these days. So tell us.
Yeah, lemonade is a bright yellow apple. It's a cross between a Gala and a Braeburn. Okay. It's a sweet, tart taste. And so when we started first from New Zealand, we're the only ones that have this in the United States.
Okay.
New Zealand, during the summer, we would import. Now, what's great is almost year-round. We have Pennsylvania and even greater extent Washington.
Okay, so, you're going
so now
to
we have a domestic lemonade now. And it is terrific. And when it's merchandised in a powerful way in the store, it really sells. I mean, it really moves. And there's actually an online, there's a lot of folks asking about lemonade.
Right.
Where can I buy it? It's pretty interesting. Yeah. But yeah, it doesn't taste like lemons. It's like,
no.
It's actually an apple.
But is it more tart?
But it's sweet tart.
Yeah.
Tastes really good. And we love it because it breaks that color. You see in the produce department, there's a lot of the apples that I like.
Right.
And to have that. But you also want to say that it's lemonade so that people don't get it confused with Golden Delicious.
It's interesting that it's a Gala and a Braeburn, which are both red.
Yeah, and then yellow.
It turns out yellow.
It's crazy, but it ended up yellow.
Yeah. And does it look like that you confuse it with a Golden Delicious? Or
people do, and so that's why the merchandising is very
key.
Important.
Right. Got it.
That's a key there.
What's the price point like average retail for lemonade? Yeah.
It depends. The $2.99, you know, a pound.
So it's very reasonable.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it depends.
And your volume is increasing on
it's
that?
Increasing. It's going to continue to increase.
Oh, that's great.
We have great apple partners, Rice in Pennsylvania and Apple King in Washington.
And is that a proprietary variety?
It is, that we have, that we have in the United States.
And you're bringing it in from Chile right now?
New Zealand during the summer, yeah.
Okay, New Zealand in the summer and domestically grown in the fall of our year. Yeah,
exactly. It's really exciting.
And domestically, is that only Pennsylvania?
Or and Washington.
And Washington.
Yeah, a lot of it.
You mean they grow apples in Washington?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
It's crazy what happens up there.
And that comes in about what time of the year in New Zealand in the summer?
We should. We probably see in May, actually. We're probably going to start seeing some fruit lemonade apples coming from New Zealand.
Yeah, that's their fall.
Yeah.
Starting to get the fall.
And they're available nationwide?
Yeah, nationwide, absolutely. Yeah, they're a very exciting apple to have. And then we have our Dulce Vita nectarines, which is California nectarines. Those
that's
are
a good
really
Italian
terrific.
Name.
Dulce Vita.
Dulce Vita.
There it's more French. It's supposed to be more
did
French.
You name that?
It's supposed, to be, oh. It's supposed to be more French.
Okay, that's right.
But sorry. But that's a good one too. And you know we have such a great company. You know, you have the Corsaros, and then Tim Riley, my boss and president. My goodness gracious! Always, he is so smart. He's such a visionary. So it's really we're so lucky, blessed to have these kind of these kinds of, and the people that work on the various divisions that we have. We're more teams at divisions. I don't like that
name.
Nogales, and, that group there with all the volume they we cross winter vegetables, and grapes, and watermelon. It's amazing. I mean, we have. Have so many great items, so many great people that are experts within those particular commodities. And also for us, we have, and this is spearheaded by Tim in terms of the services and logistics and all the other parts that how our industry sort of functions and our company functions. It's really, really good stuff.
Yeah.
They're an amazing company, and it has such a family atmosphere. And I loved every day that I worked with the Jamara companies.
Oh, thank you, Teresa.
And that's how we love to highlight companies that are multi-generational like that. We've had several, and there are some. And to tell our listeners, I think a lot of our listeners have bought into the misconception that
agriculture in the U.S. is just big corporations, but these are small family farms, a lot of them that are
they growing. Are. A lot of them are small.
Yeah, and, you know, they help you help them market and distribute, exactly. But they're small. I mean, this going back so many generations, Jamar, that's a
it
great
was so
story.
Great with Tim and John Corsaro and Dr. Survey. Their vision is, look, it's a long-term view. It's not just a quick buck. Let's just do this one quarter and, hey, let's all look good. Yep. It's like, no, you know what? Let's try to grow and let's try. It's just so smart and so strategic. It really, really is.
Well, that reminds me of one of your other taglines, the love of the land.
Yes, exactly.
So they are being stewards to make sure that land is going to be producing for years to come.
Correct. We're also a big supporter of Fairtrade USA. Okay. We have Fairtrade USA certified products, and they were at the booth today here at Southern Exposure Tampa for an hour. It was a Fair Trade USA hour,
okay.
And so they were there, which was great. We support that as well.
Fantastic. That's great. Well, Gary, it's such a pleasure to have you. I know you guys have so many things. We've got to have you back.
Oh, sure.
More than
absolutely.
Once, maybe two or three times. We'll spread it out, so because I know you're a busy man, but we got to hear more about what you guys are doing.
That would be great. No, it's a real honor.
Now, Gary, something I didn't tell you, because I figured if I did, you would just back out right away. We make every guest go through a very painful ritual on this podcast. With this segment, we call Homegrown. And why we call that? Teresa loves parties. And she has insisted that she gets to tell a pun or skapun in every episode. Now, what you have to understand is that the puns are really bad. So it's painful to hear the answers. Yeah, but it's we groan. That's why we got a little groan. So you got to sit through it.
That's, no problem. That's
your,
great.
That's
no,
your
terrific.
Fee for being
I
on the show. Okay, Teresa, what's your kind of homegrown of the day?
Okay, well, the industry knows that the Jamara Company is very big in the grape business. But why is it that grapes make terrible comedians?
Let's think about it. She's usually a form of a question. We try to guess and we get the answer. We try to guess what the pun would be. So, why is it that grapes make terrible comedians?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're the first students.
Grapes, something about being crushed. They crush the audience? No, they get crushed by the audience.
I'm trying.
I don't know. Come on, Rick. You always have the book, something. It's blanking. It's late in the day. Gary, you have any ideas?
No, I don't. Wow, that's you know, it's funny. In LA, I know a lot of comedians.
Okay.
Some are good and some aren't so good. Yep. Maybe they're not. Yeah.
No, there you go. All right, Teresa.
Okay, so grapes make terrible comedians because their jokes always turn into a bunch of whining.
Don't laugh, Gary. That's a crow. Okay. Well, sorry for punishing you, but it's a ritual. But Gary, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys.
It's always a pleasure to see
you.
Keep up the great work you're doing.
Oh, thank you.
And we hope to have you back.
Thank you.
We love you.
Well, thank you, listeners, for tuning in to the Produce Buzzers podcast, brought to you by Produce Buzz, the gathering place for lovers of fresh fruits and veggies. We hope you were entertained a bit and educated a lot about fresh produce. Be sure to join us next time, and please tell your friends to do so as well. Like, share, and comment on our Produce Buzz Facebook page, and check out our website at www.producebuzz.com. There you will find articles about fresh fruits and veggies, how to select, store, and prepare them, as well as lots of interesting facts about all the wonderful bounty the earth provides for us. Until next time, be fruitful, and don't forget to veg out.